Matthew chapter 7, think of the verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I want to speak to you for just a little while tonight on the subject of true or false. That's a question we're often asked, especially when we're engaged in a quiz or a test or an examination. Questions are posed, and we're encouraged, we're invited to give the answer as to whether it's true or false. And what I want us to do tonight, men and women, is simply this. I want to ask you personally to consider your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, your profession to be saved, to be born again, to be a child of God. I want you to consider earnestly and clearly that profession this evening. And as you do so, ask yourself the question, is it true or false? Is it a true profession or is it a false profession? Is it something that's genuine? You truly are the genuine article, born again of the Spirit. Or is it something tonight that is counterfeit? It might have the appearance of reality, but it's not genuine. It's not real. I want you to understand that in this passage, at this part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Saviour is warning about things that are false. In verse 15, he warns about false prophets. If you look there just at that verse, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He's speaking and warning there about false prophets, those who claim to be God's messengers, those that claim to speak for God, but the reality is that they don't. And then here in the words of our text, and in the context, the verses just immediately preceding, the Saviour's warning about something else that is false. He's warning here about false professions, those that claim to be converted, claim to be Christians, those who claim to be the Lord's. But the reality is, and the judgment day will declare it, the reality is that they are not. And the great question, men and women, is simply this. Are you one of them? Everyone in the meeting tonight needs to consider that carefully as we think of what this passage has to say, or what the Saviour here has to say about the subject of false professors. I want you to notice, in the first place, he tells us about the plurality of false professors. You would imagine, most of us, most Christians, imagine there would not be many false professions made in church circles. We would normally, naturally think there would just be a few, just be a small number. But I would have to say to you tonight, men and women, that you would be wrong. You would be mistaken to think like that. Notice the words of verse 22. Notice the word right at the very beginning of verse 22. The Lord Jesus tells us, remember these are his words, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" So I encourage you to mark the word there at the very commencement of the verse, the word "many." It's telling us there's a plurality of false professors. In other words, men and women, this is something that is a common occurrence in the life of the church. This is something that is a common occurrence whenever the gospel is preached. And I want to stress to you, make it clear, that it happens to all preachers, all true preachers of the gospel, will have false professions made under their ministry. Mr. Nicholson, there was a man that made a profession at one of his meetings, one of his missions, And then a few nights later, the same man was staggering down the street drunk. Somebody said to Mr. Nicholson, you know, trying to pour scorn upon the gospel preacher and the things of God, he said, "There's one of your one of your converts there." And Mr. Nicholson very quickly responded, "He certainly was one of my converts, because if he was the Lord's, he wouldn't be in that state tonight." It was a good answer to give in those circumstances. So be assured, men and women, that false professions happen to all preachers of the gospel, even the greatest preacher of all, the Lord Jesus. Because remember, the New Testament says of our Savior that from that time many, there's the word again, many of his disciples, it says, went back and walked no more with him. So it's clear, even our Savior had many false professions made during his earthly ministry. So I want you to see tonight, as we think of this solemn subject of false professors, I want you to be clear on the matter this evening, that there's a large number of people that sit in church circles, sit even in evangelical church circles, who think that they're ready for eternity. But the reality is they're not. They're not. They're not saved at all. And the question that comes to every heart this evening in this gospel service is, are you one of them? Are you one of the many that the Savior speaks of here in this text? Pray the Lord will challenge hearts about that this evening. So the plurality of false professors. Notice as well it talks about the position of false professors. I think it's their position in the church. Verse 22 says, "Have we not prophesied in thy name?" So think, men and women, of the position that these false professors held in the ranks of the Church of Jesus Christ. They say that they have prophesied in the name of Christ. In other words, they were preachers. They were Sunday school teachers. They were those that sang in gospel meetings. They were those that held high office in the church. But despite all of that, they were still not saved. Still not right with God. So there's a very clear warning sounded by the Savior here. And the warning is, men and women, that position, even position in the church, is no guarantee that a person really knows the Lord and a person is really right with God. Remember, it's possible to deceive the people. A person can deceive even the congregation of the Lord's people and be put into some of the most prominent, some of the most influential positions in the Church of Christ and still be dead in trespasses and in sins. Think of Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, men and women, was an apostle. He was amongst that elite and select band, the apostolic band itself. Judas Iscariot held the highest office in the New Testament church. And amongst that band, he had such a trust given to him by the others. They had such confidence in him. Remember that they made him their treasurer. The Bible says that he had the bag. Judas Iscariot preached the gospel. He had preaching tours. He had success in his ministry. But the reality is this, men and women. The fearful, solemn reality is his profession was a false profession because he was never converted. Never. The Bible describes him as the son of perdition. And that's where Judas Iscariot is tonight. He's in perdition. He's in hell. A lost eternity. You think tonight of Balaam. If being a prophet could save you, then Balaam would be in heaven. If holding high office saved your soul, then Balaam would be in the glory land, men and women. But he's not. The Bible leaves us in absolutely no doubt of that. This is what the Bible says about Balaam's eternal destiny. It says that he went out to the blackness of darkness forever. That's what's recorded of him in the little book of Jude at the end of the New Testament scriptures. So the lesson is, men and women, Don't trust in your position. Don't trust in your position, even in the church, as an evidence of conversion or an evidence that you're going to get into heaven. Because the Savior says here, there will be those that prophesied in his name, those that will have preached in the name of Christ, and they will be refused a place. The gates of heaven will be closed to them. They'll be refused a place in the glory land. So the position of false professors. Look as well at the plea of false professors. Verse 22 again. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So I want you to think of those words. Many will say to me in that day. There's a picture here, men and women, of a very special day. And it's the judgment day. A reminder has been given to us here of the judgment day. What a solemn scene it is. Can I take the opportunity in the meeting tonight to remind everyone gathered, there's going to be a judgment. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And these people that the Savior is speaking of here, there are people that are at the judgment bar of God. They're standing before the Lord on that great and solemn day. And I ask you to think for a moment of what these people are pleading before the Lord. What they're pleading as a grounds of their acceptance before God. What they're pleading as a reason why they should be admitted into heaven. What is it? It's their own character and their own works. They say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful... What is the word at the end of the verse? Many wonderful works. So notice it carefully. What these people are doing is they're talking about themselves. They're talking about their own efforts. They're talking about their own life. They're talking about their own good works. Their mistake, of course, is emphasizing their works and not their faith. The reality is that they've missed the mark completely. Completely. Mr. Spurgeon said, speak not of what I have done for the Lord, but rather speak of what the Lord has done for me. Isn't that a lovely little statement, men and women? And that will never be more true than on that day when you stand before the Lord. Because never forget, men and women, the reason that you get into heaven is not because of anything that you have done. Regardless of what works you do, regardless of how much you do in the cause of the gospel, the reason you'll get into heaven is all because of him. All because of what he did, what the Savior did for you. Paul, writing to the Colossians, summed it up so succinctly. Paul said, Christ is all and in all. And I want you to see that tonight, men and women. Grasp it. Grasp it tonight as never before. Christ is everything when it comes to our salvation. Think of the words of the hymn writer, no other hope, no other plea. He took my place and died for me. Is that your plea tonight? Is that your plea? Because if it's not, men and women, I don't care who you are, I don't care what office you hold, I don't care what work you do, it doesn't matter how loudly you cry the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter how loudly you cry, Lord, Lord, and claim to be a Christian, if Christ's death on the cross is not your only plea, then the fact is you're a false professor, and you need to face that reality and face it before it is forever too late. Forever too late. There's a fourth lesson here. That's the power of false professors. That 22nd verse, again, it tells us, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And then look at these words. And in thy name have cast out devils. So just think of that. I've cast out devils. So here you see the power that a false professor can have. A false professor, a person not truly converted, has the power to do miracles, can have the power to do wonders. Isn't it true tonight? If you saw a person casting out devils, we would think to ourselves, that person must be soundly saved. When you see the great healing meetings, thousands attend, people cured, people made whole, you would say, here's a servant of God. But remember, you could be wrong. You could be wrong. Because the Savior is warning us here that even the power to do miracles, that doesn't mean that a person's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember in Egypt, in the days of Moses and Aaron, the magicians of Pharaoh did miracles. In fact, the magicians of Pharaoh copied the exact same miracles of God's servants. They did exactly what Moses and Aaron were sent of God to do. But Pharaoh's magicians were not the Lord's. They were not men of God. You think of Judas Iscariot again. Judas Iscariot cast out devils, just the same as the rest of the apostles. There was absolutely no difference with Judas and all the rest. They didn't say, we have all cast out devils when they came back from their preaching tour. They didn't say to the Lord, we've all cast out devils, well, except for Judas. He didn't seem to have the same power as us. Judas cast out devils just the same as all the rest. But yet the New Testament tells us, the New Testament record is, that he had a devil. That's what the Savior said of Judas Iscariot. And in fact, at the end of his days, at the end of his life, finally what happened to him was that Satan himself entered into Judas. He was demon-possessed for that short period at the end of his life. So what that shows us is a person can cast out devils and still be a child of the devil themselves. A child of the devil. The sad thing is, these people of what the Lord Jesus is speaking of here in Matthew 7, these people attended the miracles, but they didn't attend to essentials. And that's a common mistake, men and women. Let me say that for you again. They attended the miracles, but not essentials. They had never repented. They'd never confessed their sins. They were never born again of the Spirit of God. And I want you to be in absolutely no doubt tonight, that is what is essential as far as your soul's salvation is concerned. Those are the things that are absolutely essential if you ever want to be in heaven and be with Christ for all eternity. So that's the power of the false professors. Notice the pronouncement about these false professors that the Savior gives. Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Isn't that serious, men and women, to hear those words? That would be one of the most solemn and fearful things, to hear the Savior make that pronouncement. Remember that in the Bible, the word know has the idea of an intimate relationship. For example, think of Joseph and Mary. The scripture says that he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. The meaning of the word know is there that Mary and Joseph didn't have a close physical relationship until after the birth of the Lord Jesus. So whenever the Savior says to these people, I never knew you, as he will say to many on the day of judgment, what the Lord Jesus is saying, what he's meaning is, these people were never saved. They were never in fellowship with Christ. They were never in a close relationship with him. So how solemn, men and women, how solemn that awful pronouncement will be. I never knew you. Some will protest and say to the Lord, but I was a church member. I was on the roll of a certain church. My name was on the roll of that church. Some will say, I was an elder. I was an office bearer. I was an office bearer in that church for many years. Others will declare, I took communion. I was baptized. But the Savior will respond and say, I never knew you. You were never saved. The work of grace was never done in your heart and in your life. You think of that word never. Just think of how final that is, men and women. Despite all you say, despite all that you claim, you were never born again. You were never a child of mine. You might declare to the Lord, but these Christians know me. This minister knows me. But men and women, that will not be enough. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter who will know you on the day of judgment. If the Lord doesn't know you, you'll be doomed and damned for all eternity. Henry Ward Beecher, the Beecher family were very famous in 19th century America. Henry Ward Beecher was a very popular preacher in the States at that time. He was known by multitudes. He was heard by multitudes. He was a great orator, great speaker. But the sad thing is that despite the popularity of his ministry, Henry Ward Beecher was never converted. Never was converted. He's what the Savior described as a blind leader of the blind. And you know, men and women, on the day of judgment, the Lord will say to Henry Ward Beecher, I never knew you. Multitudes of people did, all across America. In fact, even across the ocean, the name of Henry Ward Beecher was known. But the Lord will say to him on that day, I never knew you. And it will be the same for you if you're not truly converted. Your pronouncement on that great day, men and women, will be the same. The Savior will say exactly the same thing to you. I never knew you. So what urgency that gives to all in the meeting tonight that are out of Christ, to flee to him for refuge. The final thing I'll mention is the punishment of the false professors. Verse 23 says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Just think of that tonight. How fearful, how solemn it is. How fearful and solemn to be turned away from heaven and to be cast out into hell. And that, men and women, will be the punishment of all of those whose profession of faith was a false one. And I want you to think carefully of that. Will that be your pronouncement on the day of judgment? Will that be your punishment for all eternity? You think of it like this. Now the Savior calls sinners. He invites sinners to come to himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is the Lord Jesus doing tonight? What is he doing in this gospel meeting, this gospel service in Armagh Free Church? He's calling, he's inviting sinners to himself. Will you respond to that invitation? Will you heed the invitation? Will you come tonight to Jesus Christ for salvation? So I want you to understand that now Christ calls sinners to himself. But then, on the day of judgment, what he will do is the very opposite. He will disown sinners. He will drive them from him, drive them from his presence. And I want you to consider that carefully and ask yourself, will you be among them? You expected to be in heaven, but you'll be driven out to hell, driven out to a lost eternity. So how important, men and women, it's a simple little statement that we're so familiar with in life, but how important this question is. Remember that it relates to your eternal destiny, and I want you to consider it carefully. Consider your profession of faith, your profession to be saved, and ask yourself carefully, is it true or is it false? Which is it as far as your profession of faith is concerned tonight? I want you to be sure of this. That's a vital question, men and women. A vital question for every soul. In closing, let me urge you all, in the words of the New Testament, make your calling and your election sure. Make it sure. Be sure tonight. 100% sure that you're saved by the grace of God. The final text, George Whitefield, the great Methodist evangelist preached upon before the Lord called him home, was the words, examine yourself, or examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. So you think of those two texts alone. Here's something that men and women that come to God's house regularly, that are regular churchgoers, regular church attenders, are exhorted to consider. You need to examine yourself carefully, regularly, whether you be in the faith. Examine your life carefully and prayerfully. Look at it closely. And be absolutely sure, men and women, that you're saved, that you're in Christ. Be sure of this. Be sure that you have possession of Christ and not just a mere profession of faith or a mere profession of Christ as your Savior. So think of those words. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them. You see the word profess? We're talking here about false professions. The Savior says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. May the Lord bless his word. May he take it.